This podcast is brought to you by PrideNZ.com in association with the People of Colour Decolonisation Hui.
I thought I'd talk a little bit about my own experience and the way I see the world in my eyes. And it might be boring. If it is boring, please feel free to fall asleep. And if it is not boring, then keep your eyes open. And you can shut your ear if you want. I think it was 1991 when, as a client, I went to Shakti Women's Refuge in UK. I first attended a Hui for feminist women, and I thought, wow, it's so cool. I was a young mother with a young daughter. For me, it was bigger picture was abuse. I didn't link the abuse with anything else. And I thought it was luxury to have a day not working and sitting around talking about a whole lot of things. And trust me, half the thing I didn't even understand at that time. And after many years, when there was a Hui in Hamilton, a few Maori women called me feminist. I thought, what? They're probably talking about someone else. And I remember National Collective CEO, she pulled me from my back and said, they're talking about you. I said, wow, what did I do? For a minute, I thought, being feminist, you have to be somebody. This was in my mind, you have to be outspoken, you have to write, What I was doing was what needed to be done in front of me, life circle. And basically, it was coping mechanism. What do you cope with the situation throws into you? And later on, I asked one of my friends, you know, they called me feminist today. My friend said, this is good or bad? I said, I have no idea. Since then, there was many things I did. And it got attached. My close friends who know the way I live, the way I think, they always tell me that you are not only feminist, you are radical feminist, but polish it down because our community is not ready. Even when I stood for election, I remember my advisor within the party told me, polish it down further because the community is not ready. My question is, how long to polish it down? You can polish it down. You can dress according to the society. You can work according to the society. But how long? How many? My generation is over. As I told you, I'm mature age. But I don't want Sasha, Menju, or people like yourself to polish it down. Because if you polish it down, it's going to remain down. That piece of advice, I don't know, I'd call it feminist or radical feminist, but I feel that needed to happen. The community is not ready unless we are ready to challenge it. When I was writing the book, reflecting back in my young age, I realized a couple of my aunties were feminists. Maybe they didn't know they're feminists. They worked out on their marriage. They did farming by themselves. They didn't bring up their children. They used to go and challenge community leaders. I had a lot of those challenges. Then I look back and I feel now, maybe there wasn't theory. They didn't have a workshop. But they lived their life as a feminist, which they were stigmatized by the rest of the family members. When I grew up, my mother always told me not to be like my aunties. Always. Do not sit like your aunties. Do not eat like your aunties. Do not talk like your aunties. When I cut my hair short, my mother told me, now there is nowhere to stop. You even cut your hair. So my aunties had a very short hair. And that's not common in Bangladeshi village. I said, my hair fall. My mother said, whatever it is. But you shouldn't have cut it short. But my mother lived with it. Bless my mother. She's lived with that. I've probably given her enough trauma. She lived with that. But That's where it is. The moment you step out of the circle, it's going to be a challenge. And it is an individual challenge or it is a challenge as a group. I feel, looking at the young people, you are blessed. You have each other when the challenge comes. Like myself, I had my friends who actually feminists, but they wouldn't act like a feminist because they had to confront the society. 6-7 other women who started Shakti with me. If I look back, and if some of you probably don't know, Shakti is an organization started 15 years ago in New Zealand. We started because there was a large number of immigrant women who came to New Zealand and refugee women. But there wasn't a place where these women could go simply learn English language, communicate with each other, how they're coping with the new country. Usually, community organizations, they have their association or societies, which is men does everything. They have a token woman in the committee, which would be cultural secretary or probably cooking secretary. The rest of the work will be done by the men sitting in the table, including ethnic council. Some of you probably know about ethnic council. But the women will be making tea in the kitchen. That's their contribution, right? That gets done in the kitchen. Most of the work will be done by the men in the front. And this was a platform where women could sit down and talk and learn English, get to know each other. But the unfortunate circumstances, I think we had a couple of sessions without domestic violence. Then we got into domestic violence. The women were abused who came and talked about it. We had to set up an organization to deal with that. Not that we knew what we're setting up, but we set up an organization to deal with that. And I believe all of my friends who stepped out and helped us to set up organization, they all are feminists in their heart. But how many of them could have been challenged coming out? They probably gone, had lot of domestic violence going on in their house because all of a sudden their wife's going out, spending time, learning driving, doing things, telling the husband this is not right, this is wrong. But some of the marriages cope, some of the marriages did not cope because of through the process. Some of them made a personal sacrifice to keep the organization and our vision going, that other women could get help. But then, do I look back and say, because they didn't cut their hair short, they're not feminist? No. I think they are also feminist. And one of my... Yeah, true. At least you wake laughing. One of my friends who founding member of Shakti, her daughter joined Shakti's newest venture, which is a new office in Melbourne. And her daughter just finished degree in psychology. She joined the group. And this girl, whom I saw half the time walking around this size, and now she's grown up, she was sitting in a meeting and talking to the other women about feminism. And how we should stand against violence, we shouldn't be tolerating violence. And when she finished, I asked my friend, is that Maury, that is her name, is it your daughter who is talking? She says, yes, Rita, that's what we did. Maybe I didn't change my outlook, but I made sure that she do. And that's what as a mothers we can do. The challenges that we jointly faced in New Zealand, you know, how when we came here, we learned a lot about biculturalism. And I think hundreds of meetings over the years, I sat there, and 10, 15 years ago it was worse, now probably a lot better. I sat there, there's a bicultural discussion, then you sit there and think, Do I fit anywhere? Nobody could see that I'm sitting here. Nobody could even think that I can contribute something, even though my English is not probably perfect. But I can also think. And then some point you try to push yourself and contribute a little bit. And then when the minute gets done, you don't reflect on it at all in the minute. And it went on for a very, very long time. And it's still probably going to go on, because the acknowledgement of the other people, which is other, Lucia, one of our founding members, always gets really upset when you tick things and you tick other. She said, we always going to be other. Then you tick other. And other people problem will remain other people problem. If you've seen that just last weekend, there was quite a lot of talk in the media with Dominion Post, and Michael Law actually called the ethnic community man monkey. Monkey should go back to the monkey land. Then Sasha got all prepared, went in breakfast news to defend whole organization. We're talking about another 15 years. How long this issue is going to be? Other people issues, monkeys issues. Monkey should go back to monkey land. Unless people from here stand up and you talk about it, talk about institutional racism, which is more dangerous than you see racist people on the road who throw things to you, who wants to beat you up, that at least you could see. At least you can feel it. You can take a stick or do something about it. But... what do you do when politely people thank you in your face and say, I had so many letters. Thank you. There is no allocation of fund for migrant and refugee community. Why do you thank me for that? I don't need a thank you. You could, instead of thank you, you could say, just get lost. We have no money for you. That would have been much better way of explaining. Other than say, thank you, there is no money for you. Your problem doesn't exist because doesn't matter, even the suicide rate is after Maori, the highest suicide rate in Auckland District Health Board 2007 and 2008, it was migrant young people. It doesn't matter even you dying in breast cancer because it's not detected, because there is not enough female interpreters or supports that could reach there. It doesn't matter if you get a job and get paid less. It doesn't matter if you work three times harder than the white organization and they can still put you down. It doesn't matter because you don't exist. You stay in the box of others. Hey, then this generation of mid-20s people, some of you will come out and challenge it, and some of you will try not to see it. Because if you don't see it, it's much nicer. Because then you can fit in as a banana. You can just fit in. My daughter works in the media. I often tell my daughter, don't turn up to be a banana, then your mother cannot take the shock. Just stay brown. Be proud to be brown. My daughter tells me, Mom, there's two things. If you see a racism, you need to fight for it. If you don't see a racism, and you know there is a racism, then you learn to stand up much easier. I don't know if that theory works, but some young people might take that theory. Because they want to be fit into basically white, middle-aged, male corporate. Because you need to fit in to make money, to pay your bill, bring up your children. But moment you start seeing it, then you get hurt, you get angry, you get frustrated, and you need to do something about it. But I either feel go down to that road, because at least you're changing something for your next generation. I don't know if I made a huge difference or not, but I tried last 15, 16 years, every day, make a little difference for my daughter and granddaughter and for everybody else. I think that's what I'm going to do if I live up to 90. I'll do it in the rest home too. Thank you very much.